can be the church that God has designed and God has made. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we covered this a little bit last week, and we're going to highlight some more things. But it says that God has made us what we are. And God made us to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. God made you. And you were made to serve. You were made for this. You know, when someone says, I was made for this, what does that imply? It's perfect. It fits me. This feels right. This is like, I'm made for this. I'm made for Hawaii. Right? I'm made, you know, because we feel like that's just... Well, the fact is, God made you, he designed you, he created you for a purpose. And the purpose that you were made to fulfill here, says in this verse, is to live your life serving God, doing good works. And serving and Christian go together. You can't have Christian and serving apart. It's just like Christian without Jesus is not Christian. Christian without service or ministry, because ministry and serving are the same word. Servant, minister, same word in the Greek. And we're all ministers. We're all servants of the Lord. We're all to serve. Now, we're not all pastors, thank God. But we are to serve. So when it says here, God has made us what we are. He knows exactly how he made you. He made you that way on purpose. When Moses gave his objection to God, why it wasn't a good idea for him to go and speak to Pharaoh, he gave this reason. And to me, it makes sense. It does. He said to the Lord, But I stutter. I don't speak well. So, you know, me going down there and speak to Pharaoh is not a good idea. And God said, you know, I didn't think of that. Not really. That's not in there. What did he say? He says, I made you that way on purpose. So when you give your excuses to God and say, God, I can't serve. God's going to say, like, that's a surprise to me that you made this way? I made you exactly this way on purpose. Every weakness, every fault, everything, I know that what you're made of. I know who you are. But I made you for a purpose, and that is for serving me. Now, it says here, God made us to do good works. And he has planned in advance for us to do this. In other words, this is what God has planned for your life. God has planned for your life that you would serve him. Okay, now, if you don't follow that plan, if serving God is not a part of your plan, then your plan isn't doing what God wants you to do. And guess what? You weren't made for it. If you're just following your own plan for your life, you weren't made for that. God had something else in mind for you, if it doesn't include serving him. Now, here's another thing here in this verse. I took another version. It's the Good News Translation. It says this: God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. Now, if you're going to embark on this life that God has created you to live, first step, before you do anything else, It says here, union with Christ Jesus. In other words, you have to invite Christ into your life. It starts with Jesus. You can't live the life you were meant to live. It won't fit. It just won't seem, there'll be something missing unless you invite Jesus Christ into your life and say, Lord, I've tried to live my life for me. I tried to follow my own plan. But I recognize that's wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for the wrongs that I've done, the plans and the things that I put into practice, and give me your plan. I give my life to you. Until you do that, you'll never know what you were made for. And there will always be something missing. So that's the first step. You need to receive Christ into your life. Now, how do you do that? You just ask Him, come into my life. Forgive me for my wrongs, my sin. See, because when you live your life for yourself, you're sinning. And sin has bad consequences. So you say, Lord, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. Invite Him in. Say, Lord, come into my life. Take over. Forgive me. And He will. And you'll start this path and this plan for your life. Now, when you come to the end of your life and you stand before God, one of the things that you're going to have to do, and I'm sure this is going to come up, He's going to ask you, what did you do with your life that I gave you? The talents and abilities and the opportunities I gave, what did you do with those? Did you do what I made you to do? If you didn't do that, you'll have to answer to God for it. Notice it says in Romans 14:12, so then each of us will have to give an account of himself to God. Now, have you noticed that we don't like that? Nobody likes that. Not even the government likes that. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be transparent. Because they want to do what they want to do. And when you're doing what you want to do, and you don't want to be held accountable, but you will. So you might as well face it right now. If I'm going to live my life for myself, I'm going to have to account for that. And who am I going to have to account to? My mom? No. My dad? No. My employer? No. President of the United States? No. You're going to have to stand before God Himself and give an account of how you lived your life. So, what stands in your way in serving the Lord? Here are some obstacles you may face. Number one, a lack of confidence. A lack of confidence. These things I'm going to be talking about here in a minute are some of the things that are going to rob you of confidence. And this is like so common. Everyone has these feelings of inadequacy when we talk about doing things for God. I've known people that just have amazing voices or amazing talents, playing guitar or other instruments, and no problem, they can just do it. But when you say, I want you to sing for the Lord in front of people, they get petrified. God's watching. Yes, He's watching. Or when God says to you, I want you to see, you see that problem over there, you see that need there, I want you to do something about it. What happened when Jesus was out teaching and people had been there for quite a long time? And the disciples came to Jesus and said, you know what? You need to send these people home. They need to get something to eat. I mean, we need to move them on. And Jesus said to them, what? You feed them. Are you kidding me? That'll take... I can't even figure... That's like how many... That's a month's wages and... I don't know. No. Why? Because it looked impossible to them. And a lot of times, the things that God wants you to do, you think is impossible. Now, why would that be? Why would you think something that God wants you to do is impossible? If He made you to do it, why would it be impossible? Because we see all our flaws. Now, He mentions this to Joshua. Joshua says, Joshua chapter 1, when the transition between Moses and Joshua was taking place. God said to Joshua, be determined and confident, for you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land which I promised their ancestors. Again, in verse 7 it says, just be determined, be confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. In verse 9, remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. There within 9 verses, he says 3 times, be determined, be confident. Why would he say it 3 times in such a short span of space? Because he wasn't confident, that's why. And he wasn't quite determined. He was kind of like, who, me? Now, how could he feel that way? What was it that he was doing? Well, I think one of the things that he was doing, he was comparing himself with Moses. And this is what we often do when God speaks to us and wants us to do something. We find ourselves lacking confidence because we are comparing ourselves to others. Now, would you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy? Genesis, Exodus, then Leviticus, and then Numbers, and then number 5 is Deuteronomy. Chapter 34, that's right at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Now I want you to turn to verse 11. Now I'm going to read from the Good News Translation and you follow with your version. Let's see if it's a similar thing. It says, no prophet has ever done miracles and wonders like those that the Lord sent Moses to perform against the king of Egypt, his officials, and the entire country. There hasn't been a prophet in Israel like him, and God has not used anyone like him before to do those kind of miracles. Okay? Now, Moses is moving on. And God says to Joshua, you're the man. Now, what would you do? Let's see. Takes a staff, go like this, the waters part. I can't do that. You know, what amazing things God has done. He hits a rock, water comes out. Everything he says, I can't do this. Moses messed up and he didn't even get to come in here. Now I'm here and I'm supposed to take over where from. If he couldn't do it, why can't. How could. Can you imagine? Just imagine the fear that gripped him. And we do this all the time. We look at other people and how God has used them, and then we go, oh, I can't do that. Right here, you have an example. I knew for a fact that I could never speak in front of people. It was a fact. If you've ever seen me when I was starting out, you'd say, oh God, help him. There's no way I could do that. First of all, I'm extremely shy. Yeah, that's true. You didn't believe me, did you? I'll tell you, my usual MO before I was a pastor is that I would come a little late because everybody was there. Then I'd find a seat in the very back row. And I've been going to church for long enough, and I knew kind of when the things were winding down and church was going to end. And then I'd get up just before the end and leave. And why would he do that? Because I didn't want to meet anybody and have to say something. I was so shy. Hello, what's your name? And God says, I want you to... Yeah, I had this person come up to me and says, we've been praying and we want you to join us. We're going to start a ministry. And we want you to be a part of it. I was thinking, okay, what's up with this? So what does that mean? Well, you could help us. You'll be doing this, maybe doing that. I said, no, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'll be. Hey, one thing though, I'll never have to speak in front of anybody. Oh, sure, that'll never happen. That's okay. Yeah, sure. And here I am today. Why? Because I compared myself to people who could just talk. I just can't jabber. I apologize for you who talk easily, okay? I don't mean to insult you. See, I'm having trouble already. It's because I compared myself to others. And I had to learn right off that I couldn't be anybody else. See, God made you the way you are. And He sees things that you don't even see. And when He asks you to do something, and we'll talk about this a little bit. When He asks you to do something, you need to do it. Even if you're afraid, you need to do it. Notice he says, be confident, be confident, be confident. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. King James says, they are not wise. It's never good to compare yourself with someone else. And say, oh, I can't be used of God because I'm not like them. That is never a good idea. That's what Joshua did. And what you find is that when you compare yourself to others, you'll either become discouraged or you'll be filled with pride. And both are not good. See, when you compare yourself with someone else, you look at them, you go, oh, I could do that. And then you find yourself falling on your face. And then you go, I can never do this again. Or you'll be filled with pride. Filled with discouragement because you see that what they can do and you say, I can't do that. Here's another obstacle you're going to have to some of you may have to face. It's measuring yourself by your past failures. Because of the things in my past, God could never use me. because of what I've done or my life I've lived or things that I blow, I can't be used of God. That's not true. Romans 3:10 says this, as the scripture says, there is no one who always does what is right, not even one. Not even one. So join the club. Just look at those that God's used in the past. I mean, just to see a pattern here. Okay, there's a pattern here. If you look in the scriptures, many of the men and women that God used in a powerful way had big failures in their life. Moses, when he started out, what did he do? He murdered somebody. Ooh, there's a good one. Put on a resume, I murdered somebody, and God, please use me. Just go through the scriptures and you'll see one after another. We have flaws, we have failures, we have sinned. But see, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to look at your past failures. You look at what God has said and what God says you are and start to focus on that. Now, in Romans 14:4, it says this, who are you to judge someone else's servants? It is their own master who will decide whether they succeed or fail. And they will succeed because the Lord is able to make them succeed. Don't let anybody else tell you what you can and cannot do. Go to God about it first. Say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? If you want me to do it, then you will give me the ability to do it. You will help me. Here's another hurdle, overcommitment. Overcommitment. Now, I want to know, you can raise your hand if you like. Anybody in this room that's not doesn't have a busy life? Whoa. Nobody? Oh, maybe one. Okay. Yeah, you're retired. So you don't do anything with your life. Well, that's good. All right. Just kidding. But we all busy. We all have things to do. Right? Now, notice this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says this in the Message paraphrase. It says, a soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. Another version says, don't get entangled in civilian life. What does that mean? It means watch what you've committed yourself to. If you're committed to things and it doesn't allow you to be committed to what God has made you for, then you're too committed to these other things and you need to cut back. See, if you don't have time to serve God, then you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. See, everything in my life should be as a service to the Lord. God made you, and He made you for a purpose, and He has a plan for you, and He wants you to follow it. And He planned you to do good works. That's what it says here in the first part of what we talked about. He planned for you to do good works. That's how you start to think about things now. As a member of Calvary Chapel, if you're here and you call this church your home, as a member of Calvary Chapel, that is our thinking. That's how we think here. That is how we're to think. What is my ministry? What good works does God want me to do? I've been a Christian for how long now? And what am I doing with what I know? How am I serving the Lord? How am I serving my brothers and sisters? How am I serving the world? What am I doing? Watching TV is not one of them. Now, we all have a television, I'm sure. Sometimes I watch TV too much. When I know the Lord would want me to do something better with my time than that. Do I get an amen on that so I don't feel all alone? Oh, thank you, thank you. So we need to start thinking different, saying, you know, Lord, what is it that I should be spending my time doing? What are the needs around me that I can do something about? I belong to you. You made me for a purpose, for a reason. What is it you want me to do? And if you can't identify anything that you're doing that fits that category, then you have some heavy talking to do with the Lord and say, Lord, what did you have for me? Now, here's another obstacle or hurdle that some of you may have to deal with. It's a lack of interest. Lack of interest. You're just not interested. You feel pretty good about your life so far, and now pastor's saying you need to serve somebody. Oh, I'm not interested. Philippians 2:4 says this: each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So a lack of interest, what do we get from this verse? Why would you have a lack of interest? Because your only interest is your interest. It's what we call self-interest or selfishness. See, if you lack interest in serving God, it's because you just don't have any interest in that. You only have interest in yourself and your agenda. You don't have room enough in your life for the things that God is interested in. And that's a scary thing. Galatians 5:13 says this: it's absolutely clear that God has called you to be to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. Now, let me stop right there. To do whatever I want to do. You mean I can't do whatever I want to do? I'm an adult. Can I do what I want to do now and then I'm an adult? Now, if you're a believer, you can't do just whatever you want to do. The Lord has something to say to you what you should do with your life. See, the thing here it says in this, the message paraphrase says, don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. You know, God's ways are always just backward compared to our, just the opposite of what we think. We think freedom is to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, as many times as I want to do it. That's freedom. Freedom! What Paul's saying is that's bondage. It'll lead you into bondage. It's not freedom. Freedom is doing what you were made to do. That's what real freedom is. Doing what God made you to do. 2 Corinthians 5:15 again mentions this. It says, he died for everyone, meaning Jesus, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Now, how do we know that we're living and doing, we're serving God, doing good works and good deeds. Well, here's something to think about. I want you to think about this. First of all, you need to get close to somebody. You need to get close to some people in your life so you can get to know them a little bit. So if you haven't, we talked about this maybe last month or a few weeks ago, you need to get connected. You have to get connected with people. You have to have relationships with people. You have to spend time with them. Now, what happens when you do that? As you get to know them, you'll start to see some needs. If it's some real relationships, there'll be needs. And if you see needs, guess what? There's your ministry. What? That's the pastor's job. Nope. I got a job. But God placed you where you are, and He wants you to be with the people that are around you so you can serve one another, so that you can minister to one another. Have you seen yourself that way now? Do you understand the thinking here? I'm hanging out with people, I'm getting together with people, and I'm there for a reason, to serve them. And the needs I see are the needs that I need to step up and do. That's where it starts, is meeting the needs that are around you. And that's how all ministry starts. Sometimes we see, you know, some person's testimony, and they have this huge ministry, serving thousands of homeless or whatever, you know, these people. That's huge. But how did it start? With one person. One person. It didn't start that way. And sometimes a person's ministry only will be that one person. And that's okay. Let God make of your ministry whatever He wants to make of it. But do what He has for you where you are. See, at work, you may see people around you that they have needs. Why did God put you in that job? Part of the reason is so that you can be the light in that office, in that department, in that place, that you can shine out the hope of God to them. So you see they have a need, you can tell. What's the first step? Lord, I'm going to pray for them. And then I'm going to pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to help them. You don't have a six-step plan, how it works, you know. No. Because every situation is different. And why did God make it that way? So you have to trust Him. Now, here's what you need to do. We see these things that are there. We need to refocus ourselves. So you need to refocus yourself. And here's some things that you want to focus on. You're going to get over these hurdles, you need to do this. You need to look to the promises of God. In Joshua 1 and verse 3, it says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you'll be... wherever you set foot, you'll be on land I have given you. Notice it says at the beginning, I promise you what I promised Moses. In other words, God's promises, we look to the promises of God, God's promises are still good. They're still good. There were 7,000 promises in the Bible. And so you need to say, okay, what God promised Moses, what God promised Joshua, what God promised Christians down through the ages, that promise is still good, and it's for me. So you need to go to the scripture and say, this promise is for me. Number two, you need to lean on the Lord. Notice it says in Joshua 1:5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. God will be with you. He's the same God. The same promises, the same God. He said, I'll be with you. And in Joshua 1:5, it says, I'll be with you. In Hebrews 13:5, it says that. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you. Now, if God is with you, that implies something. It implies that you're dependent on Him. That you're leaning on Him. You're counting on Him. And God says, basically says, I'll be with you because you can count on me. You know, when you're dealing with something and a friend says, I'll be there, I'll be with you. I'll come and I'll be there with you. What is that implied? I'll be there to support you, help you. You can count on me. That's what God's saying. I will be with you. You can count on me. You can lean on me. You can expect me to help you. So whatever ministry that God has given you, you can expect that God will help you if you lean on Him. Now, don't lean on other things. If you lean on other things, they won't support you. That's what all the world does around us. They're leaning on all kinds of other things. Next, you need to step out in faith. God has a plan for you. He has set up a ministry of service for you, and it will succeed. It will be what God wants it to be if you step out and do it. You need to step out in faith and just do it a little bit at a time. And give yourself some time to learn. Give yourself some time to grow. Because that's how growth happens, is that you start to step out in faith. Now, much of Christendom is like this. This is how it works. Get ready, set, ready, set, ready, set. Never get to boom, go. We're so prepared that it's just, And you know what? I've seen this happen. A person gets all prepared and everything, and then God does something different, and they're not prepared now. You need to lean on the Lord. You need to step out in faith. Again, Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Now, the first step is always the hardest one. To step out and do something. And you may be sweating bullets. I remember the first time I had to speak in front of somebody. There were a few people. We had six when we started. And in Sacramento. And I had to speak. I took 2 weeks to prepare for a 20-minute talk. And as I'm driving to the church, I'm feeling horrible. Oh, man, I got the flu. Would you believe that? I got the flu just before I have to speak. Oh, man, this is horrible. Oh God. I had to pull off the side of the road and let her fly. So I called the pastor. I said, you know what? I just don't think I can do this. I got the flu. He was such a compassionate guy. He said, no, you're just nervous. Come on now. And it's amazing. After I spoke, the flu left. Now, it may not be that dramatic for you, but here's the deal. You need to step out in faith and do what God wants you to do. And it may be a little, and you'll have these things come up, these obstacles I'm talking about. They'll come up. Oh, I'm too busy. We'll see if you're too busy for to do what you're made for. And you're just too busy. God made you for this. And tell you the truth, it's going to be real exciting to see how God uses you. You know, there's nothing better than to be able to know that God used me. That is just amazing. God of the universe used me to help somebody. Used me to straighten somebody and take them down a different path. Used me to, you name it, He used me. There's nothing better. So I'm excited for you. What is it that God wants you to do? I'm not telling you. Look around and step up and watch God do amazing things among us. All right? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have a purpose, and that purpose is not just for the all-stars, the big names. You have a purpose for each and every one of us. You created us and made us for it. Lord, we pray that as we start to think about these things, as we see ourselves differently, we are to be servants, to serve other people. That's why you made us. You made us to do that. Lord, as we see ourselves doing that, and as we look around and see the needs around us, Lord, give us courage as we look to you, as we step out in faith. May you do great things. We just pray these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.